This is the Power Producers Podcast, where we are refining and redefining the sales game.
Rule number one is you have to believe in yourself. You're the only one who doesn't think you belong in this appointment. The prospect has already validated your existence by scheduling time with you. Get it through your head you belong here, go in there, crush it, and close the deal.
A place where sales professionals can come to learn from other sales professionals and thought leaders that have mastered their craft.
The difference between a good salesperson and a best-in-class salesperson is only 2 minutes. By spending an extra 2 minutes on what you might think is a mundane task in the sales game, you separate yourselves from the pack, you grow your book of business, you close more deals, and you retain your accounts.
As well as their peers who are still striving for perfection to achieve their why.
I have a wife and 4 kids. Failure is not an option.
Real sales professionals. Real stories. Real results.
It's no different than being a professional baseball player. You can't be a one-trick pony. You have to be a 5-tool player in order to succeed in this game.
This is the Power Producers Podcast, production redefined. Are you ready to feel the power?
What is up, everybody? I am coming to you solo today. Because, well, not solo, I got a guest, but Kyle realized very quickly when we were in sales meeting that he was not going to get a word in edgewise on this podcast. Just no chance whatsoever. We all have our roles, and marketing is not one of his, so he would have been absolutely miserable on here. Not because the content's going to be bad. I think the content's going to be awesome, but I've actually got 3 guests today, and it's kind of cool because I've talked to all of them on a somewhat regular basis. And we just had Nick on the podcast not that long ago, but I wanted to have him back on because Dan Morey, Patrick, and Patrick McBride have joined Nick Barry at Tech Marketer, and they are ready to launch this thing and do some pretty cool stuff. And, you know, let's go ahead and throw it out there. There's a lot of companies out there that say they're marketers, but there's also a lot of business owners who say they're entrepreneurs. Just because you call yourself something doesn't make it true. And these guys right here are the real deal. I know because out of the 3 of you, I know McBride probably the best, and we have very candid conversations. And I had no clue you were even thinking about doing this. So I know, you know, that it wasn't BS. We were talking about theory, philosophy, all that. And we're pretty much in alignment on that. So welcome to Power Producers, both of you, Patrick and Nick. This is a second appearance. Dan, first time. Hey, Patrick J. Hey. I love that meme from Goodfellas.
Yeah.
Just don't tell me to get my shine box and we'll be all right.
Yeah. Dude, I could watch that movie literally. That one in A Few Good Men, for whatever reason, every time they're on, I will at least watch a portion of it because they're both so quotable.
Sure.
So where do we want to start this thing, man? I mean, I don't know. Maybe we start with you, Nick. You had Tech Marketer like a month ago when we interviewed you and you were by yourself. And now you got 2 buddies that are on the ride with you. I'm afraid to take 2 weeks off and come back and you've got 4 more.
Yeah. So the idea behind Tech Marketer has always been to provide this automation services thing. That's been in my brain for 4 years, just working with insurance agencies, working in the tech space and seeing the struggles they have. I've just been like, oh, this is painful, but I want to do this for them, but I've never had the capacity. And like, I know most of the tech systems and I know Zapier really, really well, probably better than 90% of the people in the industry. My problem was I did not have the operational and agency side knowledge to do it. Patrick and I started talking about doing this last summer. And I was like, listen, this needs to exist. We need to do it. But I was like, I don't have Patrick's running an insurance agency. I work for this company. I know this needs to exist, but I don't have the capacity to do it. And I don't have the agency owner operational thing, side of things. So a few weeks ago, I knew Dan was looking for something. And I said, Patrick and I were on a call. And I just said, I have a genius idea outside of my normal dumb ideas. I said, we need to bring Dan in on the automation services.
This was one of those eyes locked across the rooms and we knew exactly what we're thinking. He's like, I've got a genius idea. And he says, Dan Mori. And immediately I knew where he was going. And before he even told me what it was, literally in the call, I was like, yep, let's go. And we started taking steps.
Well, you guys are building me up here. I think I'm just going to let you guys keep talking and I'll just sit here and look good, I guess.
Yeah. You know, the book, Who Not How, is, you know, Nick and I knew what we wanted to do. We knew how to do it, but we didn't have the people. Neither of us had the capacity to kind of reiterate that. But Dan not only had the capacity, but he had the know-how. He is the who, not the how. When he was able to come in and we all met together, it just, I mean, it's kind of been like a rocket ship. And over the last, we've only announced this, what, a week and a half ago at this point. So we're second week of February. We haven't even told the world. We already have three or four new clients on board. I mean, it's moving the right direction. It's faster than I think any of us imagined at this point too.
Yeah, it's probably going to be the hardest part for you guys is being able to scale in a controlled manner, because it's one thing when it's the three of you. Sure. It's another thing when you have to start putting other people into the mix and everything else, especially if you're going to use, you know, VAs and other things where they may not know your processes and procedures yet. And you got to have time to train them too. So let's start with the basics. What makes you guys different? Okay. I mean, that's what everybody's going to want to know, because sure. I feel like if you talk to the average person out there, and I don't mean any disrespect to anybody, I'm just telling you, out of the couple hundred agents that I talk to on a somewhat regular basis over the period of a month, it feels like everybody's got their AMS. Everybody, a very, very large number of them are agency Zoom users at this point. I feel like I can comfortably say that's probably the product of choice for people that are, you know, not necessarily Main Street, but maybe new to the CRM world and don't have the ability to customize what they want. And they probably don't want to make that financial investment. And then there's maybe a couple of other extraneous tools. They may post some things on social, but the reality is there's never any consistency. They don't do research on hashtags. They don't do research on keywords to determine anchor text and things for blog posts and all of that. So, I mean, when we get into automation and digital marketing and all of that, that's a massive canvas. And it's probably pretty difficult for anybody to master it, right? So take the content piece out, because you guys know that I have crushing content, and that's something that, like, this is a battle we're fighting right now. And the way that I've gone about it is I've got a team of eight VAs at this point, and I've challenged each one of them to become an expert on one thing, and then have an understudy that can be their backup if they're out on vacation. But we have an Instagram specialist, we have a TikTok specialist, we go right down the line, and even have in-house graphics at this point, which is awesome, which is why right before we jumped on, I got logo renderings back, because I'm taking this guy for a test drive on my own stuff before I start making him available to the world. But it's been a long process, fellas. Like, I didn't just hire eight VAs and say, oh, you're an expert. Everybody's no. I mean, we have to teach them what we want and what our standards are and make sure we validate that they actually really are good at what it is that they do. And I mean, it's one thing after another. And I'm just interested. So all of that being said, completely random thought that went into about 18 different rabbit holes at one time, which people who listen to this podcast are used to. What makes you different? Where are you going to focus? Where are you going to enter? Who's your ideal client? All that stuff.
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, the easiest way, at least on the automation side, that I can describe it is where we have an advantage is that I have product background, right? The last few years I've been working as product manager for a software company. So I'm coming to this approaching it with a product mindset, meaning I'm looking to solve a problem. I'm not coming to it with an agency mindset, which is I want to implement a solution, right? And to kind of elaborate on that a little bit is, you know, we're not going to create a bunch of like agency Zoom, you know, to your credit, that's where most of the agents are right now. We're not going to create a bunch of agency Zoom pipelines and automations and say, you know, spend this money on us every month and we'll keep putting this stuff in here. When I meet with you, I want to know how your agency runs. I want to know your processes. On the very first call for our onboarding, we figure out what that biggest hurdle in your agency is. If it's your service flow, if it's your new business flow, whatever that looks like. and completely system agnostic. We're not even looking at your tech stack on that first call. I want to know what happens when a new lead comes in, or if it's your service or your renewals, especially, you know, you're a Florida agent, you know, the struggles in renewal market in Florida right now is, you know, what's it look like when you get your renewal? How far in advance? Then what happens if it's above this percentage? What happens if it's below? Is it different for homeowners versus personal auto? And we just map that out. Once we have that kind of mapped out, then we can take the systems that they have and plug into that process to make it smoother for them. And the reason that I like doing it that way is if you look at it, if you try to solve your problems based on a system, right? An agency Zoom, a better agency, a tech mark, you know, whatever, you're going to be limited to whatever that system can do. So your process is going to have to fit inside of a box that it may not necessarily fit in. If you approach it the other direction and you figure out what your ideal flow is without any sort of technology, without any automation, then you can pick those systems that work the best for you. And now you know exactly why you have that system. You don't have it because 98% of the other agents have it. You have it because it fits in your system and it does this very specific thing to make your life easier.
It's square peg, round hole, right? Any one of us can... We can build a pipeline and we can sell it to you, David, right here. Give me $100. Here's the pipeline. We built it. It works. It's beautiful. Everything's is perfect. But if it doesn't match your system, it's a square peg in a round hole. You're not going to use it. You're not going to be happy with it. Your longevity with the product is going to be diminished. And then your opinion of us is diminished. And then our value to you and your agency and the industry is diminished. If we look at who you are and who your agency is, what your process is, how you're solving problems for your clients, what solutions you bring and you provide, all we have to do is take that and digitize it, essentially. We're taking your process and we're building it out in a boutique fashion, not so much in a canned, here's a pipeline, here's how you use it approach, which that all has a place. But we saw a hole here and we knew that that's where it needed to go.
So listening to Dan talk, McBride, I mean, does that sound familiar? Have you heard of that sales approach anywhere before? I mean, you're basically doing the same thing that I do and that I teach, just applying it to a different service, right? And I think it blows my mind because I feel like when people learn that and they take the time to really master it, that sales becomes so much easier because it takes the pressure off of trying to sell something to somebody. Yeah. And you're actually just asking questions to learn about them. What a novel concept. And I mean, I think, but to be honest with you, I think that that's probably maybe a little bit of a disconnect between me and the actual producers that I work with sometimes, because I'll say, when you do this, this is really easy. This isn't that difficult or whatever. But to them, they're like, who is this idiot? I've been trying to sell now for 6 months and I can't get anything across the finish line. And so they automatically take their personal experience, but translate that into your approach. And my approach is so different from what the average quote and hope agency does that they really have to commit to it and take a little bit of a leap of faith. But I mean, what really blows my mind is I can take somebody with no sales experience in an agency whatsoever, and I can get them up and running to a really nice revenue amount much, much faster than having to brainwash an old dog and teach them new tricks. We've got a dude in Killing Commercial, Chris Bullock, right now that I work with him. I have he is an ex-carrier side guy, but not in sales, and by degree is an engineer. And he basically said, this is insurance omakase, man. I'm putting myself into your hands. You do what you will with me. And he listens to everything I say. And there's times where he'll push back and say, I think I need to tweak this a little bit. And I'm not too proud. Like, he's actually right in the majority of those circumstances. Some of them maybe not. And I need to let him stub his toe, but that's okay. But the bottom line is the dude is like literally following processes to the letter. And he's outwriting business. His agency launched 1 month ago on January 1st, and he's already he's got probably close to $50,000 in revenue in the hopper right now.
Wow.
And it just launched. Crazy.
Yeah. It's amazing what happens when you ask why instead of trying to put your.
Yeah. And that's the whole thing, Dan. I mean, you may have heard me say it before, but that's what I talk about agents all the time. They're so focused on selling a product when all they have to do is solve a problem. That's it. And when you solve a problem, what do? You don't go in with the solution in mind first, not if you're a good problem solver. You ask right. diagnostic questions to figure out exactly what's happening to triangulate where you're needed most. And then you figure out from a prioritization standpoint, creating the hierarchy of when you're going to attack these things.
You know, we actually just had that, I'm going to change this to commercial a little bit. We had that same conversation on our agency this morning. Part of our smart cycle process, we went through the entire process of reaching out, prospecting, and going through the whole nine. The client said, maybe later, randomly on a drip campaign email, she responded, said, here's all my stuff. My renewal's this day. Put something together. We put it all together. We asked all the questions. We have a proposal. And talking with our producer this morning, she's like, okay, I got the numbers ready. I said, great. They're irrelevant until after we have these conversations. Can you answer these questions? And she said, no. So great. So when we do this, the last half of the conversation is about the product and the premium. The first half of the conversation is all about what their process is and all the indications of what these numbers represent. And we take that same conversation from the insurance and the commercial side, and even, you know, commercial specifically, because that's where our agency is focused. But we take that same process and we deployed it. Actually, last week we were in Kansas City. I spent the weekend with four other agency owners, and we showed them how to automate their own tech stacks and how to do these things for themselves. And we watched them and we asked the questions, why are you doing it this way? What's next in the process? Why are you doing that process this way? And you just saw each and every agency owner, you just saw their mind click. There was a point, I mean, there were tears. Some agents cried, some agents got mad, some slammed their laptops down because they couldn't get it. Maybe I'm a terrible teacher, which is why Dan's here, because I'm definitely a doer, not a teacher. But we watched these agents go through the process and understand why they were doing it. And we just kept asking the question, but why, but why, but why? And they finally got down to the core of what they were looking for. And when you can understand that core, you just saw the light click, literally just this physical light, you know, shining above their heads, that all of a sudden they were able to take the next steps and knew exactly where they wanted to go with it. Whether they had the capability to do it themselves or not, that's where we come in. We'll walk right. you through the process. We'll help you get to the core of who you are as an agency. What's your messaging strategy? What's your cadence? What's your frequency? What's your rhythm? How professional are you? How casual are you? Do you say hi, hello, or hey? That's all in your messaging strategy, and that has to be consistent. And that's part of that understanding who you are to help you provide the solution, not make the product fit you. We're going to find a solution that fits. Products are agnostic.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, that again, that holds true for pretty much any sales role, man. Like my first job was in sporting goods. Okay. Not necessarily the bicycle industry, but sporting goods. So similar to what you did, Patrick, when you got out of the military, but I started at 14 years old and my job was to put the film letters on the back of t-shirts with the last name and the number. And then I got to graduate to screen printing when I got older, but I always, and that was my work in the back, but I always worked the sales floor too. And that's where I learned how to deal with the average person that comes in. And sometimes I was good and sometimes I wasn't as good, but because of the training and because I know how the different brands work, it's funny because I know now when I go into almost any store where someone is going to come help you, unless it's a high-end place, I know which brands are running promotions for the month because it's the stuff the salespeople are pushing. Mm-hmm. And to that point, I can remember very specifically when we had the dream team, the original dream team played in the Olympics back in the early 90s, 1992. We had the Charles Barkley shoes were ugly. They were the worst. Like of all of the special shoes they came out for the dream team, we were hung out to dry with the size run on the Barkleys. We didn't sell a single one. I actually kind of liked them. So I cut a deal with my boss and I said, I bet I can move every single pair of those Barclays at retail price over the course of this weekend. If I do, I get a pair in my size for free. He's like, I'll take that bet. There's no way in the world you can do it. hey, I know you guys like this, but have you seen the Barclays? Everybody's been coming here asking for them, and we actually have quite a few sizes left. If you've been in other places looking for this, you may want to have me check your size. And I'd sell them up to the Barclays every, needless to say, I got the Barclays, right?
That's how
salespeople who aren't seasoned are trained to think. They think with what's going to benefit me, what's going to get the money in my pocket, and or what's going to get me to get this deal closed and move on to the next one as quickly as I can. And that's why I feel like you hear a lot of people griping about going through the renewal process and having retention issues and everything else. I've always heard that retention starts at onboarding. As soon as you onboard a new client, Yes. That's when your retention starts. And I just don't think a lot of people think that way.
They don't. I've seen their systems.
Right.
I've seen their email marketing products or campaigns, and I've seen their text message campaigns, and it's all about, you know, typically it's what benefits the agency, not what benefits a customer. And I've always come from approach of, I have no secrets. I will tell you everything before you ever sign up for me to sell you something. I think that's the way to, like, that's, I think one of the key differentiators between how I do things and how most marketing agencies do things. If you follow my newsletter, I give away the entire barn every single week with no ask, because I know if I give it away, the people who really value it will come into my ecosystem eventually.
Yeah, that's the thing.
The other thing is they'll know what they don't know. I can literally tell everybody, oh, when we go out and close an account, this is exactly what we do. These are the steps we take. And, you know, if you want me to show you how, I'm happy to jump on a call, but I can't explain my process to somebody in a 30-minute Zoom meeting, especially if I'm going to put pre-injury management and return to work and all of the other stuff in place that we execute once we bring somebody on board. So I've always been of the abundance mindset. I mean, I think that's back when we called it social media marketing, when it first came out, that's what the entire concept was. Come from a place of abundance, share your knowledge, you'll gain authority. People will look at you as a subject matter expert and authority in your brand and your position, and they'll gravitate toward you. And that's how you get followers and connections and all of that. And over time, when you've done that, then when it's time to monetize, you'll be able to monetize that, you know? And it's kind of, it's similar to what I've done with Killing Commercial, but not necessarily 100%. But I've always heard if you build the community, you need to build the community first and then introduce the product. Because if you wait and if you introduce the product first, then the intent of the group or whatever your ecosystem is revealed very, very early. I think that if you build the community first and you build the loyalty and you establish yourself as a thought leader or subject matter expert, when the time comes to introduce the product, it's just a natural thing because people have been asking you for so long at that time, yep. Right? Like Killing Commercial wasn't something that, like, I can promise you, man, David Lefevre as my witness, he knows, like he knows when I get in the zone that it's getting ready to be a real wild ride for him for a while, because I just say, here's what I'm thinking of, go do it in HubSpot. But Killing Commercial was something I'd put off for years. I never really thought about it, but people had asked me, would you work with agencies? Would you work with producers? And then when I went out to San Diego and spoke and I saw how many people wanted to hear about this stuff and they came up and talked to me, I was like, I got to do something about this. So I had no minimum viable product or anything, man. I just did a post on my Facebook page and the first 25 agencies were in 48 hours. And I'm like, holy crap, Lefevre, we better build something pretty quick. So put up the learning management system. I mean, I was doing everything I could. I was coming in early, staying late, recording video, editing stuff. And, you know, we threw something together, but, you know, looking back on it, absolutely not the right way to do it. It just happened to work out.
Yeah, I honestly, to me, the biggest problem in the insurance side is vendors gatekeeping information. Like, it drives me absolutely crazy. If you have something that can solve a problem for somebody and you're, you know, hey, pay me $500, you know, like Patrick said, and here's this pipeline from Agency Zoom, or here's this automation cycle, or whatever it is. And, you know, to your credit, like give that away. Like, tell people, hey, this is what I'm doing. This is how I built out this service pipeline. I know that was one of the emphases that Patrick went over this last weekend in Kansas City. I was like, hey, here's the service pipeline. This is what we're doing. This is how it works for us. You know, if you want it, here you go. I'll teach you how I use it. And, you know, same thing to you, to your point too, like become that subject matter expert. I think as far as the agents go inside the insurance industry, you know, people like yourself, David, like Patrick McBride, like Billy Wagner, like JC Wagaman, right? There's so many great agents that are willing to give information for free. It's the vendors that come in, and speaking as a vendor, that come in and just ruin it all because they just go straight to how do I monetize, right? This is how I want to make money. I want to make money. I want to make money, instead of trying to solve the problem for them. And I think, you know, earlier you kind of mentioned, you know, asked like our ideal client or whatever. And it's, you know, it's not the agents that can go in and actually implement the stuff, right? Like Patrick's probably not a very good fit for us because he can go in and he can actually do all the stuff and he likes doing all that stuff. Makes him a great fit to run this, but maybe not so much as a, you know, as an actual client. So if we give away information and we give away a pipeline, what harm is it to us? The person that's going to implement that themselves wasn't going to be a client for us anyway, but the agent that had absolutely no idea that that was possible, they have no time, desire, energy, will, whatever, to learn how to do that. Now they're going to see it and come and say, oh, you did this. What else can you do that could, you know, possibly help me? You know, and then, like you said, be that subject matter expert that way.
I'll tell you what, man, one of the best examples that I could think of from a marketing standpoint and how to get people involved is HubSpot. They have done a ridiculous job, man.
Mm-hmm.
If you look for anything at all, almost on the internet, they're going to have a very highly ranked blog that's mm-hmm. going to get you into their ecosystem. Email signatures, Google email signatures. They have a HubSpot email signature tool. It's free whether you use their thing or not. But if you look at how they've built the company, the whole thing's built off of their CRM that they give you for free. Now, is it the same thing as a fully customizable version of HubSpot? No, but it works. Like, yep. I know a lot of agents and like producers, maybe there's a producer out there who's in an agency that doesn't support them from an automation or a CRM standpoint. The free HubSpot CRM is at least a way for them to manage contacts, right? But if you look at it from the marketing perspective, HubSpot gets you into their CRM and they just get you addicted to it. And then they want to give you something here. Let me give you sales. Let me give you service. Let me, you know, and then that's where you buy stuff. And I think that it's just genius, man. I mean, anybody who understands marketing understands that you have to give away something incredible to be able to convert, right? Look at mm-hmm. what Alex Hormozi talks about. Look at what Russell Brunson talks about with the most incredible free gift ever. And if you look at it, like what's Hormozi saying, 100 million offers? You have to offer something so crazy that they feel stupid if they say no. That's what you have to do. And I can tell you right now, you're going to see the logos that came out, you're going to see that in my own ecosystem, I am redeveloping everything and going to do a complete different journey to get from starting point to killing commercial to a new top tier in-person live mastermind to whatever. But my funnel is going to be built just along those lines because I have the ability to do it. I was sitting there reading Lynchpin. I'd never read anything Russell Brunson wrote. And I picked up Lynchpin because somebody told me to go get it. And I'm like, all right, I'll read it. And I'll never forget it. I was sitting on a plane and I get done and I just sat there for like 5 minutes. And I'm thinking to myself, I've already got all the pieces to the puzzle. I just didn't have the instructions. And Annie, I told Andrea, I said, this is going to change everything for how this whole thing works at this point, because I just know, like, this is one of the times where I've got a feeling and I know that the feeling is right. And she said, well, how can you be so certain? I said, because I grew up playing with Legos when you just had a, like, I remember my Legos were in one of those old plastic 5-quart ice cream buckets that my mom washed out after we got done with the ice cream. And it was a great place to store the Legos. I didn't have instructions. I just built crap with it, right? But now with my kids, they have step-by-step instructions. I can blow through Legos and actually make it look like what it's supposed to look like. So from my perspective, I've had every ounce of what I need to put this strategy in place for my own stuff. I just didn't have the roadmap to do it. And then I read that book in You got me, Brunson. You got me. I knew you were going to get me. No, got me. I went back and I bought the other box set of his first three books. And then I picked up the two books from Alex Hormozi. And I'm reading this stuff and it's like, this is all 100% legit. Basically saying very similar things, just with a different flavor to it. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I think it's really, really interesting when you look at those things.
I think that actually proves almost to the contrary, Dan, wrong on me not being the perfect customer, because all of those pieces will tell you, I know how to do it. And I know how to do it because people like David gave it away. I listened to your podcast for how many years before you and I ever had a conversation, before I jumped in. I knew the core of what Killing Commercial offered. The community, the training is incredible. The community is uncomprehendable. Let's put it that way.
And you know what? I appreciate you saying that, because it means nothing when I say it to somebody, because I feel like they think that I'm supposed to. I'm not self-deprecating, man. I'm a pretty confident dude. I mean, I know when to be, but when I tell you that what I can bring to the table pales in comparison to the community as a whole that has been assembled, I genuinely mean that. So I really appreciate you saying that, because I think that carries a lot more credibility than them hearing it from me.
It needs to. And when I say that, I go back to, I know how to do it because other people have shown me. David's shown me, right? The other podcasts out there that I listen to and have gleaned everything for all these years. And I know how to do it. And to Dan's credit, I can go in and do anything I want inside of our tech stack. I'm probably one of 15 or 20 agents across the country that have the ability to do this, but I don't have the time. Because at the end of the day, I want to be an agency owner. I want to go create those relationships. I want to help solve those problems. I want to have the conversation about pre-injury management and return to work process. I want to have these risk management conversations with our clients. And that's the problem I want to solve. Technology is a means to the end for me. It just helps me get there faster. But if I can deploy somebody like Dan in my agency, which we do, right? The reason we decided to do this is because I can't on my own. The reason Dan exists, and the reason that what I feel like this is a sales pitch, right? The reason I feel like what we offer is so valuable is because I know what I want, and I can say, hey, Dan, here's what I want. And Dan's going to understand it from not only a solution based, but from the products that we deploy, he's going to be able to connect those dots and help me get there. So I might not be that top tier customer where I need the full-time CTO, but Dan, I'm an automation package expert where I like, hey, this is what I need. You just go do it, manage it, make sure it's done. And when I ever leave, are all the zaps mine? And the answer is yes, right? Kind of like what you said, everything we do is for the benefit of the agent and the agency. You walk away at the end of your contract, your zaps are yours. Everything we've ever built, it's all yours. That's not gate kept on our end. Yep. We made our first official call, Nick probably claimed it or coined it. Our first official call was when in doubt, err on the side of the agent. If we do right to the agent, if we do right to the agency owner, we can't go wrong. 99.9% of the time.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, man. And I think part of it too is we're proud people, you know, as business owners, as producers, that's just who we are. It's one of the reasons that we're able to be somewhat successful. And I think that people have a hard time admitting when things aren't always 100% right either. You know, we've had Kerry Wallace on the podcast. We've had the people from Agency CFO on the podcast. And I can tell you the things that you hear when they go in, they don't, number one, let me be very clear, they don't share stories about agencies that they go in. But speaking on the podcast in broad strokes, it's like people know they need their help, but we make it weird. Like we don't share what's wrong. We don't share all the things we've screwed up that led us to reaching out to them. So how are they really supposed to help you, right? And I think that, you know, from my perspective, I can gain trust pretty quickly just because I've had a lot of life experience, just because I sleep 4 hours a day. So like I always do things outside of insurance that push me forward. Like we were talking about it in sales meeting today. You know, Black Friday on a whim, I just decided that I wanted to learn a new language every year. So I bought the lifetime subscription to Babbel on a Black Friday deal. And every night for 30 or 45 minutes since Black Friday, I've been going through their Spanish curriculum And nice. I took 4 years of Spanish in high school, so it comes back to me relatively quickly. But, you know, we're 2.5 months removed from Black Friday, and I could go have a conversation in Mexico right now with no problem, you know, as long as it was surface level and involved the things that I would be there for. You know, I'm not going to ask somebody to give me the finer points of neurosurgery in Spanish or anything like that. But, you know, I've learned it and I'll continue to do that until I'm fluent across the board. And I'm, you know, I can get all my conjugation right and everything else. But that's how I'm wired, man. Like, I'm never going to slow down. Even if I'm bored with the insurance thing, that's fine. I'll do that during the day like I'm supposed to. But now tonight I'm going to go do this. Like, Grayson's into the UFC. We watch all the UFC events, but he didn't get into it until the last couple of years. I've been watching it since UFC 1. So now we decided we'll get Fight Pass and we'll go back and start at 1, and we're going to watch every event all the way up until he started watching so he understands the history of it. Boy, you want to talk about a rabbit hole? Go watch that. Go watch like the inside the first 10 when there weren't really any rules. And no weight classes. And the thing that's crazy is until I went back and watched them, I didn't realize how little technique these people really had. Like, they were the master of one craft, but to see how that sport has evolved over the last 25 years and where it is today, where guys can be strikers and grapplers and submission people versus there were guys, if you got on the ground in the first 5 UFCs, you were done. Like, you tapped just because you got put down.
Yeah, back when Royce Gracie wasn't a household name, and he didn't have a dojo named after him on every street corner.
Man, yeah, and he knew how to choke you using his gi. He didn't even have to get you in a rear naked choke.
Yeah,
right.
It's crazy.
Ken Shamrock would just beat you into the corner. Now you're talking my language, David. Like, I could go all day on that one.
I say that about I say that about being open and honest and all this stuff and gaining trust. Because I feel like there are a lot of agencies out here there who do need help, right?
Yes.
And I feel like they don't even know where to start. But my advice would be to be vulnerable, be open and honest. Like, I have no secrets, man. I mean, I'm probably one of the most open people that you will ever meet. And that serves me well sometimes. And other times it probably scares the bejesus out of some people. But you know, I've just always believed that. And part of the thing that's molded me into that has been how much I hate the fact when my prospects aren't. Like, I can't stand going in and trying to help somebody, and I get 3/4 of the story thinking I had the whole story, and then I look like a monkey when I get to underwriting or something else, because I find out, oh no, we've seen this submission the last 13 years in a row. Did they tell you about this? Well, no, they didn't. You know, and now I look like an idiot, right? And so I feel like, you know, where I was going with the Kerry Wallace and the agency CFO and all of that is that's the most sensitive thing in your agency. Marketing is not. Like, there's nothing to be embarrassed about. Be quite honest with you, unless you're a CPA by degree and have practiced, you really don't have anything to be embarrassed about on the financial side. Nobody said that you needed to be a CFO caliber person to own an agency. You just need to be smart enough to hire one.
Right.
Yeah. Facts. Fill in the gaps of know that there's things that you don't know.
And so then when you do that,
you can get far.
Yeah. And then when you do, give them the whole story. Tell them like, look, they know you're going to lunch on the debit card and it's not a business expense. Just be honest about it. So they know how to classify this and keep you out of trouble. Right. Yeah. The same thing holds true. You know, but you bring in a marketing group to consult with you and you don't put all your cards on the table. Why'd you even bother?
No, I agree.
100% agree. I see it pretty often. I don't know. Patrick can attest to this. I've been avoiding client service business for 2 years. But it got to a point to where I literally just said this winter or, you know, last fall, I was like, I have to do it. I have to do it because the industry needs it, because there's nobody I feel in good conscience I can refer agents that I trust my name behind to go do this work. And then it just made sense. Like, oh, I need to bring Dan in. We need to build this automation service because it needs to exist, because just from my experience in these software companies, like trying to help agents connect their systems and just get in front of it. Like, hey, listen, these are the systems you need. I can't do this for you because I have this other thing, this job. So at this point, I was like, we just need to build it. You just need to make it.
And when I sit on the phone or I sit on Zooms 2 to 3 times a week, every week for probably the last 6 to 9 months, and my agency's infancy, still spending that time with agents, walking them through technique and capabilities and what they can do with technology and Zapier. And I am by no means the industry expert. My mind works very uniquely in how I can see and the contingencies and the nuance of A to B to Q and how those look different. Having the ability to do that, you know, we built the community around. I mean, very similar to what you talk about, David. Like Nick and I have 100%. We have the community. We know what's going on. We have our thumb on the pulse of what happened. And when Dan, again, that eyes matched across the internet, right? We suddenly like, Dan, like we know who the pretty one is now. You know, it's definitely me because Dan's not taking me off of that throne. But when we sit here and we talk about the community, we know that people are looking for it because they're asking. And they're asking us because they trust us, not because we have a product or a solution in mind. They trust us because of what we've done and what we've said and what we've been able to give away. And that won't stop. I had a call even earlier this afternoon or early this morning with another agent who asked questions on how to use specific systems. That information's not proprietary, right? No. The work is not sacred. What we do isn't a secret. But the ability to do it at the level we do, at the consistency we do, that's what we're hoping that we can start to shift and change around in the industry a little bit.
Yeah, the other thing that I hope you guys shift in the industry is to keep agents from being so freaking cheap, man, and making sure they understand, you know, what it takes to actually do the job the right way. Because, you know, I run into this all the time. You know, I don't know if anybody else on here uses Advisor Evolved in local traffic marketing, but I use Chris for my websites and I use local traffic marketing for our paid ad stuff. And we've been very happy. And as a result, I've told Chris, anytime that you have an agent that is on the fence or isn't sure what they want to do, feel free to have them reach out to me and I'll walk them through what they need to know. Now, I do this mainly because I don't have a dog in the hunt. I can say whatever I want to that person mm-hmm. and they can hate me for it, but it's not going to cost Chris a deal, you know, if I piss them off, because I'm going to poke them. I'm going to poke them right in the nose and tell them exactly what they need to hear. But, you know, I tell, and this is the advice that I give, and I'm going to show you how I bring it back around because I think it's going to become applicable to you guys in your sales process. So, when somebody calls me, the first thing I do is I'll ask them, did Chris spend time with you or did Anthony, whoever they're talking to, spend time with you figuring out exactly what it is you're trying to do and diagnose your issue? Have they asked you a bunch of fact-finding questions? And they'll tell me yes. They said, great. So have they come back to you with their recommendation yet? And usually they haven't. And that's by design because I want to talk to them before they do. And so I'll say, good. That gives me a chance to talk to you about what you can expect then. I want you to understand a couple of things. Number one, they're going to do their research. They're going to look at everything that they can possibly find about that class of business or whatever the subject your ads are. And they're going to come back to you and say, this is exactly what we're going to do. And here's how much it's going to cost. And of that cost, about $500 or $600 of it is what they actually put in their pocket. And the rest of it is their suggested ad budget. Now, you may get sticker shock from that. You may look at that suggested, you know, budget, and if it's $3,000 a month, you may stroke. That might not be what you're anticipating. And so it may entice you to start trying to cut. Well, I only want to spend this much. I only want to spend this much. Let me tell you very clearly, that's not how it works. If he tells you he can get you 100 leads at $3,000 for a $30 acquisition cost, you're not going to cut the budget to $1,500 and assume that you're going to get 50 leads. You might get 10. You might get 20. I don't know. It just depends on how the ads are served, what the keywords are, and where everything else is. All I know is that you had a professional assess the situation and tell you what they needed to get the job done right, and you want to nickel and dime them. Right. And so I know I got them at this point. And so here's the end of it. Could you imagine being in an occupation where somebody came to you for your professional advice to craft a program to make sure everything was contemplated that needed to, only to present the proposal and have them want to nickel and dime you by removing pieces and parts, knowing that when the claim happened, you would be the first person they blamed? Sound familiar, insurance agent? If the guy tells you he needs $3,000, give him $3,000. If you don't have it, don't do the deal. Go back and save up money until you can fund $3,000 a month for 6 months and comfortably do that. Now you're ready to engage in this strategy.
That's, I could not agree more.
What I've been trying to articulate for 6 years.
Yeah, it just blows my mind. We are the most fickle people on the planet. We hate it when our prospect wants to nickel and dime us. Oh, I don't need the EPLI. I don't need the cyber. I don't need this. But you ask me to make sure your business is adequately protected. You ask me, yeah, but I'm not going to buy that. I don't have the money for it. And then, you know, my response to that is, well, if you can't afford the premium, you certainly can't afford the claim. But it's the same thing, man. Why do we do that? Like, as agents, that's a rhetorical question. Nobody needs to answer it. But agents out there, why do we do that? Why do we ask experts for their advice and then basically tell them in no uncertain terms, no, we're going to do it my way instead? Do you do that with your doctor? Do you do it with your lawyer? Do you do it with your accountant? Probably not.
Oh, I definitely do it with my lawyer because I send that guy an email and it costs me $50. But at the end of the day, I just pay it. So there's no real, I poke fun at him.
Yeah, but you're not, if he were to put together a legal document for you, you're not going to go proofread it and suggest changes and everything else. It would be ludicrous. That's every bit as ludicrous as an agent who's never had an advertising program in their agency acting like they're the expert on the budget. If you can't afford it, don't do the deal. Do the deal when you can.
Yeah.
Everybody wins at that point.
If I proof the legal document, I send it back for revisions, it's just going to cost me more money. Because now I've taken the expert and I've changed what the expert said was supposed to be there. And I've had the expert go back through in his law degree and his years of experience, go take my nonsense and try to fix it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It all circles back to what you said earlier, David, about building trust, becoming that subject matter expert. At the end of the day, if you go to somebody because you were told that they are the person to go to and you trust them, then nothing should change between before you see the price and after you see the price.
One thing I was going to ask you is this. I think that it would be beneficial for everybody listening. What are the problems that you're solving right now? Like, give some examples of some problems that you said you've brought three clients in already. What are the problems you're going to solve for them so that people listening have an idea?
Yeah, I mean, right now it's just putting time back in the agency, right? So, I mean, of the two Florida agents that we just brought on, both of them are looking for ways to optimize on the renewal side of things so that they don't have to spend, like, there's like 50 manual touches that are happening on here and 49 of them don't have to happen, right? So every time there's a manual touch, that's time out of their day or their CSR's day or their VE's day that they can't be doing something else. And, you know, same thing, you know, with our California agent, they're also having, you know, struggling with renewal side right now. And honestly, the broad stroke of it is you should be automating the things you can automate, not to take the personal touch out of your insurance agency, but to actually put more personal touches back into it. It should be enhancing that level of personability that you have with your clients, right? If you're automating all the dumb stuff, the mundane data transfers, and here we're pulling all the risk details and sending it to the carriers, like, if you don't have to manually do that, then that's more time in the day that you get to spend having the conversations saying, this is why you need that EPLI, or this is why an umbrella makes sense for you, or, you know, whatever that conversation looks like. So automation should be enhancing your personal touch, not taking away from it. And that's what we are helping the agents with right now.
So renewal processes is one, and I think that's something that a lot of agencies probably are feeling at a much greater degree this year on market conditions than what they have in the past. What are some other things aside from renewal pipelines and renewal processes? I assume you've got something for new business, something for client onboarding, and all of that stuff. I mean, I think there's a subset of agencies out there, to be honest with you, that don't even have an idea as to what can be automated. And I don't mean that with any disrespect. I just mean it's not been something that's been on the radar or a priority for them to this point. So they don't even know what they're capable of. Like, it blows my mind when I show just like a basic automation that we've put in place inside a HubSpot. Like, holy cow, how were you able to do that? Well, I actually decided I was sick and tired of doing it like the old way, and there has to be a better way.
What I have seen in most agencies, especially new business and new prospects, is they don't just have a leaky hole, leaky bucket. They have a wide open drain when it comes to new business. They're relying on sales producers and their team members to manually follow up. And that's like my biggest, I'm like, oh, that's the easiest thing we can fix. Let's automate, let's build around Robin for your teams so it's fair for new inbound leads. Let's automate and set the expectation with the customer of what's going to happen next. And then from there, you solve that one problem. And then same thing with onboarding. Like, hey, here's what's going to happen. Here's what we're going to need. You know, you're going to get, which is what you need to do. All these setting those expectations, and you can automate 85% of it outside of those phone calls, which even then you can create tasks in your CRM for your staff to go do those while the email and the texting automations, if you got opt-in permission to go do, and they just run, and they're like, everybody's happier then.
And you met with an agent recently too, Nick, that all the new leads were coming into an office manager's inbox who was then manually round robining them to the producers.
Hours later.
So your lead velocity goes down. So, I mean, new business is obviously something that everyone needs to worry about. And if you're not, you're clearly in a different world than I am as a 2-year-old independent agent. Outside of new business, there are only 5 times that we interact with our customers. So outside of the sales process, prospecting, win back, I mean, that's that same, we're trying to earn your business. You have onboarding, which really only happens once. Claims, service, and renewals. That's it. As an agency, we only talk to our customers 5 times, including onboarding, sales, renewals, claims. That's it. So how do we simplify those processes to make sure that our team can give the example back? So over the last couple of weeks, we've helped agencies build out service pipelines, making sure that their messages got across and making sure that E&O boxes got touched and checked, making sure that the coverage checklists were actually included. We've helped folks simplify and build out a telemarketing pipeline for commercial sales, making sure that everything goes in and content goes out, that there's smart cycles engaged, and there's now dipping into killing commercial stuff now that there's a 12-month solicitation cycle that cycles back in after that first section of calls, and it smart cycles back out on another date later on. These are all pieces where if we can simplify the onboarding process or simplify the sales process, when you get that phone call, you could spend more time with the customer. When the sales call comes in, you have exactly what needs to happen. Your team knows what's going on. We can put that VE in, you can put that VE in your office, and we can just reassign that task to an assignment group, to an unlicensed VE instead of the licensed staff that's taking $15, $20, $25 an hour, because we set it up right on the front end. It's just a simple change on the back end, and now the right person gets automated that task and it gets done.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, man, what we're doing right now too, to add one pipeline to yours, is we created one for the risk management service delivery. So our service pipeline, we've got an insurance services thing, but we also have one for Abby to do the things she needs to do. And with all of the things we're doing with the producer game plans and the different very like problem solving drip campaigns we've put out for people who need fleet safety or return to work. I did one this morning to create quality control manuals and programs for plumbers, because plumbers are having a hard time getting renewed here due to claims experience. And all of that stuff can go into that pipeline and live and work in concert with each other. And to your point, you just said, you guys talk to your clients 5 times, you know, roughly. And I know that that's not like an exact number, but we now have probably close to 24 touch points over the course of a policy period, if not more. And the reason we have that isn't because we're doing more work. We're actually pushing the work to the client to create the different sections and ultimately compile their manual. But the touch point is Abby following up to make sure they did it, and then also to make sure they understand what's coming up the following week. and she's golden, man. Like, I can promise you, she sets follow-ups to follow up with me about things. She's going to get it done. And it really, for me, as the owner of the agency, it makes it very easy for me to just look at a dashboard and know where any of this stuff is at any given time. And then I don't have to ask questions, right? But because all the automations are happening and everything else, she has the time to give the personal touch, which is what we want.
You know, I'll give you one prime example of things that we've done in the past. We had a client, windstorm came through, blew a tree down on their house. The wife was supposed to be in the house working out in the home gym. And the picture I got was a tree in the gym as high, actually laying on top of the treadmill. So she wasn't at home. Her husband asked her to go somewhere, do something. She was mad at him. She called me and she was shaken because she was talking about how mad she was at her husband that he asked her to go to the store. And so she calls the office, files the claim. I'm on the phone with a claim with her. We file the claim in our system and make everything go. Before I got off the phone with her, our team was on the phone with the carrier, had filed the claim with the carrier, and was three-way conferencing that carrier in because of the automations and the sequence that happened. Our team got notified, the right people did their job, and all of those things. I got to be the resource and I got to be the sounding board and have that relationship with our client where our team did everything else. And those are the simple things that happen every day. Those are the reasons that we do what we do.
Well, the other thing too is it helps you measure the tasks. It shows you the volume of certain things you're doing. And, you know, this is one of the things that came out when Neon first came out, but agents should be able to have data to go to a carrier and say, look, Travelers, you're pushing me for more business. And by the way, disclaimer, I don't even have a contract with Travelers. That's why I picked them. So look, ABC Insurance Company, you know, we'd love to give you more business, but the problem is we're spending 73% more time on the accounts we put with you because it's more difficult to interface with your underwriters and systems. So if you'd like for us to give you more business, that would be great, but we need an additional 9 points in commission to make it worth our while so that we're hitting our numbers financially. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense to put business there. So it's crazy. If you're an agency and you're not using any automations at this point right now, at a bare minimum, you need to sign up for the newsletter and list and read that. And that's going to show you how much you don't know. Then from there, get on a discovery call with these guys. Let them ask you the questions. I don't get a dime for telling you that. These guys are all three my friends. I wanted to have them on here just to simply let you guys know what was out there. And there's another option available. So I would highly encourage that. Go check out the website. Nick, you look like you got something you're dying to say.
No, I'm just happy we were here. Get to be on here.
There we go.
Month.
Yeah, that's pretty rare, man. So, anyhow, well, listen, we're going to go ahead and wrap up. Everybody, we'll catch you next time. Thanks for tuning in. See ya.
You've been listening to the Power Producers Podcast. You can follow Killing Commercial Insurance on Facebook and YouTube. And if you want to take your game to the next level, check out our book, The Extra 2 Minutes, and our website, KillingCommercial.com.